Sefer Bamidbar opens with the count of the Jewish people. Nitziv points out in his introduction to Sefer Bamidbar that although we colloquially refer to the Sefer Sefer Bamidbar, Chazal referred to it as Chumash HaPakudim, the Book of Numbers. In general, the English or Latin names of the five Chumashim correspond to the names that Chazal used, and it's the Book of Numbers. There's a lot to say about that, and it's as a whole approach to why that's significant. Rashi tells us, opening Rashi, Mitochi basan lefanav moneo sam kolsha, that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeatedly counted Klal Yisrael, it's an expression. And it's an expression of love. It's an expression of love. It's an expression of closeness. The Torah highlights in Chumash, in Parshas Bo, the number of the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, Kishiyatzu Mitzrayim, Minon, after the Egal, Minon, to know how many were remained. And then Kishibal HaShosh Shechina Saleh Minon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu again is Mashu Shechina upon us. He counts us again. And here Rashi closes his opening comment with a tip of the hat to the detail that the opening pasuk highlights. It's not just Vayidaber Hashem and Moshe Lamar, but in between the Moshe and the Lamar, of this long byline, the location of Bemidbar Sinai Be'ohel Moed, and the date is Echad L'Chodesh Hasheni B'Shana Hasheni. So let's say some Eretz Mitzrayim. It's Rosh Chodesh Iyar. In the Ohel Moed. So Rashi explains the significance of that designation of time and place. This is a month after Hakamas HaMishkan. Now there's an Ohel Moed in which to be. And a month into having a Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're going to count Klal Yisrael again. So this counting, there was a counting in conjunction with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a counting in conjunction with the loss of Jews, the plague that followed the Chet HaEgel. And there's a counting, Rashi presents it as in conjunction with Hasharas HaShechinah, in conjunction with the opening of the Mishkan, there's a further count. It's a little striking that if this count is meant to be in conjunction with Hasharas HaShechinah, Kishaba LaHasharas Shechinasa Aleihem, you would have expected that may have been beforehand. Kishaba sounds like the Kadosh Baruch Hu is headed towards Hasharas HaShechinah. It wouldn't have been surprised if this counting would have been in Chodesh Adar or in Chodesh Shvat in preparation for Hasharas HaShechinah, or maybe in Nisan, maybe Aleph Nisan right afterwards in conjunction with the opening of the Mishkan. It's a month later. Well, curious if this counting was meant to correspond to the beginning of Hasharas HaShechinah. A little curious that it's only a month later. I'll put that aside for a moment and turn our attention to a different aspect of this count. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Yaakov, his opening comment in Sefer Bamidbar, he points out, and I believe it's not the only time that he points out, there are a number of sort of larger themes that recur, motifs that recur over the course of Emes Yaakov and Chumash. And one of them is thinking about how the 12 Shvatim are organized. So number one, the more obvious variable that we know about is sometimes we count 12 Shvatim including Levi, and that all of Yosef is counted as one, and sometimes 12 Shvatim excludes Levi, and Menashe and Ephraim are counted as two separate Shvatim. But there's another more subtle variable. It's sort of a point that changes from time to time when we look at the different times that the Torah enumerates the Shvatim, and that's the sequence. In what sequence do we hear about the Shvatim? Do we hear about them al Seder Leida, birth order? Do we hear about them organized, grouped by who their mother was, all the Bnei Leah together, and then the Yosef Binyamin together? Here, it's interesting. Yaakov points out, in listing the Nesiim, who oversaw the counting, it's in a pretty typical order. It's all the Bnei Leah together, and then Yosef and Binyamin together, and then the Bnei HaShefachos together. But once you actually get to the counting itself, you start beginning in Sheni, it's Reuven, Shimon, Gad. And Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef. But what's with the Gad seems sort of out of place. So Rabbi Yaakov points out that the reason why Gad is grouped so early, Gad appears before Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Gad, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. So the Reuven, Shimon, Gad, that's reminiscent of what we come across later in the Parsha. When they camp around the Mishkan, so Reuven, Shimon, and Gad were one side. Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun were another side. So this counting apparently is preparatory, and that's definitely the way Chumash Sefer Bamidbar seems to unfold. This counting was preparatory for the Chanaya with Degalim, the station of Klal Yisrael around the Mishkan. So Yaakov says, you know, this is sort of interesting. Right? This counting, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, a year and 2 weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim, and this is when HaKadosh Baruch is beginning to prepare us for the Chanaya by Degal. You go back to Parsha's bow. The Torah stresses that Klal Yisrael left in an organized fashion. Right? Al tzivosam, yotzim biyad rama, chamushim. They were well equipped, they were organized. Al tzivosam sounds like they were by group. They weren't just running away helter skelter, literally fleeing Mitzrayim, whoever can get out. No, it was orderly, methodical leaving of Mitzrayim. Like the Torah stressed, they left Be'et Samayim HaMazeh, they didn't leave at night. Like escapees, like fugitives, they left proudly in the daylight. So how come this, or if this is the ideal way for Klal Yisrael to travel by Degalim, these three Shvatim to the east, and these three Shvatim to the west, these three to the north, these three to the south, why did Rosh Hashanah wait over a year? Why not leave Mitzrayim in with this organization? So Yaakov suggests, but yes, this is the ideal way for Klal Yisrael to travel. But the notion of Degalim has an element of Pirud to it. There's an element of a lack of Achdus. You're saying that these Shvatim have this flag and those Shvatim have this flag. And that presumably, Yaakov points out, speaks to the sort of unique culture almost of each Shevet. Unique Tchunas HaNefesh. Specific goals per Shevet, specific strengths for each Shevet. We would say a specific culture, a holy culture, but a specific culture of Avodas Hashem that was unique to each Shevet. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger in that, that it could lead to a purity, it could lead to a lack of Achdus. Now, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So apparently in the ideal state, you can have different Shvatim expressing their own culture of Avos Hashem, their own Tchunos HaNefesh, their own Kochos, and that doesn't have to fly in the face of Achdus. You know, Yaakov, the fact that your ears hear and your eyes see, it doesn't split you into multiple organisms, right? You're one person, different organs have different strengths, but they obviously work together. So the fact that Yehuda is good at this and Zvulun is good at that and Gad is good at this and Dan is good at that, you know, you can be one organism that works together, different parts, different organs of different strengths. If there's a sense of being one larger unit, so the fact that we differentiate by strength, that's incredibly positive, assuming that there's a strong sense of being one unit. So this notion of thinking about different Jews as different organs of one larger body. So that's a theme that Reb Shimon Shkab develops very beautifully in the introduction to his Shari Yosher, where he talks about the idea of harnessing. Everyone has self-love. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, and he develops based on Sifrei Kabbalah. Surprising, Reb Shimon Shkab quotes Sifrei Kabbalah. That self-love is very essential to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu crafted the human psyche. And we're meant to harness it well. It says, you know, if you expand it, you don't kill that sense of self-love, but you can expand it. You can harness the sense of self-love by saying, I love myself, and I can expand the I. I can expand the Anochi. He says that's what the Hillel is talking about in Pirkei Avos. Imein ani li mili, uchshani la'atzmi mani. I need to be for myself, but I can't just be for myself. Uchshani la'atzmi, if the ani is just me, mani. What sort of ani is that? I have to be for the ani, but the ani has to expand to myself and my family and my community, sort of to expand the sense of with whom I identify. Expand that sense of self-love. I don't know if Rabbi Shimon Shkab quotes it, but I believe the Yerushalmi Nedarim that references this idea of sort of the expanded Anochi, the expanded I, specifically the mashal that Rabbi Yaakov gives. So Yerushalmi says, how is a Jew supposed to not want to take revenge? So natural. Yerushalmi says, imagine you're slicing tomatoes. I still remember when my grandmother would slice, my mother's mother would slice vegetables the way she was taught in Varsha. So you're slicing very quickly, and the knife is moving towards your hand, the other hand. You're holding the tomato with the left hand if you're a righty, and chopping like that. And I never really understood how it worked, but I don't remember my grandmother ever cutting herself. But imagine, you know, mere mortals cutting a tomato or an onion, and every once in a while, you accidentally cut yourself. So if you're a righty, it means that the finger from the left hand got cut with the knife that was held by the right hand. So Yerushalmi says what? So now your left hand's going to have tinnitus on your right hand? If you're well adapted and don't have personality disorders, the left hand is not going to be upset at the right hand. I mean, I'm going to be upset that I cut myself. But it's not like my left hand is upset at my right hand. I'm a single organism. I'm a single unit. Yerushalmi says the way out, the way beyond the kama and itira is through a healthy sense of personal self-identity, coupled with a sense of identifying with other members of Klal Yisrael as one larger unit, one macro organism. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov says. Again, coming back, that's sort of under this idea that each Jew is a healthy individual, but there's also this larger sense of Klal Yisrael being one larger organism, and Jews and even Shvatim being, so to speak, different organs with different strengths of one larger organism. That's how it can work, that we can identify separately as, I'm from Sheva Yehuda, we're good at this. I'm from Sheva Zvul, and we're into that. And I'm from Sheva Reuven. That's going to work if there's a strong sense of being one organism. So Yaakov takes it to this idea, again, that Rav Shimon developed, that Yerushalmi already has, and takes it a step further, and he says, and Rav Shalom waited over a year because the X factor to ensure that there would be this sense of being one larger unit, one larger macro organism of Klal Yisrael, the X factor that needed to be in place was the Mishkan. Once there was the Kabbalah HaTorah, and not only Jews all shared Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, but there was a center around which Arvos Hashem was focused, and there was a center of Hashras HaShechina, and that was the Mishkan. So that was a center around which national identity could build. So once you have a Mishkan, at that point it was safe to begin to also highlight Yehuda has this culture of Avos Hashem, and God has that culture of Avos Hashem, and Naftali, and Asher, and so on and so forth. So that's what Yaakov says. Yes, it would have been ideal from the outset, from the get-go. Klal Yisrael leave Al Tzivosam. They leave Mitzrayim Al Tzivosam. Ideally, Al Tzivosam would have been with the Golem, with Shvatim on the different sides, so the northern Shvatim and the southern Shvatim, and so forth. But it was too dangerous for the first year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, because there wasn't yet that rallying, unifying force of the Mishkan in the center. Once there was a Mishkan in the center, so then it's safe to begin to go to the ideal Chanaya B'Dgalim. And I was thinking, to sort of wrap this all together, this idea of Rabbi Yaakov, that the chanaya b'degolim was always an ideal, but it was only practical once there was a mishkan, which was that strong force to bring us in, the centripetal force that kept pulling us to the center and kept us as one nation, one unit. Maybe that also explains the difficulty we had at the beginning of our time together tonight with the opening Rashi. And Rashi had said that this is the ongoing minyan that's an expression of chiba, the ongoing, the repeated censuses of Klal Yisrael. Each one is in a further expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and cherishing of Klal Yisrael. And this one was Kishabala Hashro Shechina Saleim. And so we open by saying, well, if this count was meant to be as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is heading in Tashra Sashchina, so why did he wait a month? If it was in preparation for Hashra Sashchina, it should have either been beforehand or in conjunction with it. It should have been either in Shvat or Adar or in Nisan. But why is it only a month that the Mishkan goes up, Hukam Mishkan and Aleph Nisan, and Bamidbar opens with Aleph Iyar? Maybe Rabbi Yaakov can help us. He doesn't reference Rashi, but maybe we can plug Rabbi Yaakov's idea back into Rashi. In other words, this idea of Rashi, Kishabala Hashro Shechinas Aleim, this was an expression of Chiba. Maybe Rashi also means what Rabbi Yaakov was expressing. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is organizing us now for the Chanayi L'Dgalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is organizing us for this ideal setup. And it's an ideal setup because it gives us the opportunity to highlight our uniqueness, our individuality, and as individuals, or at least as individual shvatim. And the Kadosh Baruch was ready to give us that gift in conjunction with Hashra Sashchina. Hashra Sashchina was going to be the next step in our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and one of the treasures that Hashra Sashchina unlocked was this capacity for the individual expression of each shevet. But maybe that wasn't in preparation for Hashra Sashchina. It was Hashra Sashchina, what Hashra Sashchina would lead to, namely the Chanoya B'Degolim. But for that, as Rabbi Yaakov said, there needed to be this rallying point, and perhaps you needed some time with it. Klal Yisrael had a month built around the Mishkan. After a month of being built around the Mishkan, after a month of the Mishkan drawing us together, so after a month of that, we had soaked up enough of the koach ha-ma'ached of Hashra Sashchina that we were now ready to progress to the next step of let's intermingle the achdus of Klal Yisrael together. Let's add in that new element of the uniqueness of each shevet. This is highlights an important point that. As individual Jews, we try to walk this, strike that right balance between being part of a tzibur and being individuals. Certainly, I think that's. I was talking with a group of younger members last night, Matz Shabbos, about sort of the things that we take back, Mirtz Hashem, as we hope over the hard to know exactly when, but over the hopefully the next couple of weeks. Begin to take steps towards coming back together as a tzibur gradually. And I was thinking about what are the things, some of the things that we gained. And one of them is there is a certain power to tefillah b'yichidus. There are things that we're able to do when we daven b'yichidus, whether it's pace or whether it's focus or whether it's singing out loud in a way I wouldn't be comfortable doing in shul, maybe, singing, davening b'prisas kapayim in a way that I'm embarrassed to do in shul, whatever it is. Whatever it is, I had the capacity to, some parts were faster and some parts were slow, Different schedules, different days. Some of the things are hard and some of the things are very valuable. And to think about, it's a chance a little bit to reboot as we look forward to hopefully our opportunity to begin gradually to come back to shul, be a chance to reboot how we do shul, to reboot how we do achdus. On a lot of levels, and to think about individual decisions versus communal decisions, to think about individual flavor of avoda, combining how that combines with the avoda v'tzibur, and to rethink the right way to do that, and to remember also if it's correct that Rashi is angling towards this idea of Rabbi Yaakov, of the blend of the avoda of the tzibur and the avoda of the yachid, that's an expression of chibasar shel makom. If that's what Rashi is saying, to understand that the fact that we're individuals with individual talents and gifts, that's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love of us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes the individuality of each Jew, and that the fact that we're together as a tzibur is also an expression. The fact that we're part of something larger is also together in another dimension, another element of the chibaso shel makom with which Chumash by Midbar and Parshas by Midbar open. Rabbi Wolf says, thank you so much for joining. Thank you very, very much.